Broadcasting from behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain in the shadows of the New York City skyline, this is Gun for Hire Radio, the voice of 1 million New Jersey gun owners, with your hosts, Sandy Berardi and Master Firearms Trainer, Anthony Calandra.
Welcome to Gun for Hire Radio, the voice of 1 million New Jersey gun owners. We got a really interesting day today, Anthony. Huh? We've got Rabbi David Ben-Duri, who is right now getting a briefing for simunitions in your facility.
The gun rabbi. David Ben-Duri, who's a good friend of mine. He happens to be my rabbi. I have a rabbi. I have a minister. I have a reverend. I have a priest. It's
You're
amazing.
Very,
I get
pretty
around.
Well covered, aren't you?
I'm pretty well. I think so. I'm ready for Armageddon. Whatever door is open, I'm taking. You know, all this warm weather.
I have a funny feeling they're going to shut and lock all the doors.
All this warm weather. You know, Rita's opened up early this season.
I know.
I've been there.
Not
in case
that
my
I've
wife
been there
is
either,
listening.
Yes.
I've driven by and seen it. You know, Sandy made a good comment when we were prepping for the show. He basically says that I read the news all week and then figure out how to taint it and twist it and present it to you guys.
And only the way that you can, yes?
I think that's BS. I'll tell you right now, I only report the truth, okay? I'm like Fox.
That's right.
Right.
Well, no, you're really not like Fox, because Fox isn't Fox anymore, are they?
No one's anyone anymore. You know, we've been getting a ton, Sandy, a ton of listener feedback emails.
Yes,
thank you,
everyone.
It takes me all week to get through them. And one of our dedicated new listeners, Alex Less, you know, he says that what we're doing with the Gun for Hire Radio and everything is great for the state of New Jersey. His wife and himself had taken a class, and he said it helped. We helped convert his wife, and we gave him knowledge to help convert others, which is really what we want. And he wrote, it's not a hard sell once you're armed with the right information. Maybe you, me, someone should come with a one-page list or script of the most effective rebuttals to anti-gun arguments. Then put that in the hands of New Jersey gun owners and ask each one to reach one, which is what you say all the time. So here's the homework for our 150,000 listeners. I need some emails. Oh, I dread it. But anyway, I need some emails with ideas for this list.
Yeah,
everybody
what kind
make
of
up
questions?
Your own list. And sure. we'll post it on Gun for Hire Radio. We'll post it on the Gun for Hire Radio Facebook page.
And we can talk about it, too, on the air.
We'll talk about it on the air so that when someone says guns are bad or guns kill or this thing or that thing, we could have 6 or 8 or 10 bullet points that we meld together that we could slap them right back in the face with.
We can be like the anti-gunners and be prepared this time.
You know,
without
what
facts
work?
And figures.
What if we taped a note to a cinder block and just hit him in the face with it?
I think that'd get the point across.
I'm telling you, that would definitely get the point across. So, Alex, thank you for that. So, remember what I'm saying, everybody here, right? We need a list or script of the most effective rebuttals to anti-gun arguments. Then put that in the hands of us guys so that we could slap it back at people.
Yeah, so give us the questions that you're getting or the ones that you're stumped with or the things that you really think we should put together on the list. And we'll talk about them on the show. You can send them to talkback@gunforhireradio.com, and we'll get them.
I think it's a great idea. I got a good fix to lower some crime, guys.
Oh, no.
No. Dude, this is legitimate, okay? In Jersey City, a gentleman went to rob someone. He asked him for a cigarette, so he didn't have a cigarette, so he beat him unconscious and robbed him. So since we can't carry guns in New Jersey, we should all start carrying cigarettes. Okay?
That was in Bridgeton, by the way.
In Bridgeton. Oh, I'm sorry. In Bridgeton. So you guys out there, if someone comes up to you to rob
you,
just give them a cigarette.
Yes, prepared. Go out, get a pack of smokes and a lighter just so you're safe.
Carry extra matches, too.
Yeah, just to be courteous.
Okay. I don't know about you guys, but he ain't getting my cigar. Okay. I will ruin his day. All right.
Speaking of Jersey City, did you see the incident that happened in the safest city in New Jersey?
Because of one gun a month.
Yes, of course.
I mean, did you read this? Go ahead. You lead off with this story. I think it's great.
Jersey City carjacker lets victim keep his dog.
I mean, a 50-year-old guy is driving his Mercedes. An armed gunman wearing a ski mask puts a gun to him and says, "Get the F out of my car." The guy gets out of the car. He goes, "Can I have my dog?" And the robber said, go ahead, take the dog, which is really, really nice.
Which is nice, really nice, because I would have killed him.
You know, they what they didn't write in here was that the guy's wife was still in the passenger seat of the car. And two teenage kids in the back.
Well, you know the old joke. You lock your wife and your dog in the trunk of your car, come back in 3 hours, see who's happy to see you.
So he let him have his dog, which was pretty cordial. I'd still bust a cap in his ass, but that's just me. Once I got my dog, I'd cover my dog's sensitive ears and then shoot the bad guy in the temple.
We'll be back with more of this.
I want to tell you about my friend Katie. Katie is a nurse, and she was attacked on her way home from work. She was totally taken by surprise. And although Katie is only 5 feet tall and 106 pounds, she was easily able to drop her 6'4", 250-pound attacker to his knees and get away unharmed. Katie wasn't just lucky that day. She was prepared. In her pocketbook, a harmless-looking lipstick, which really contained a powerful man-stopping aerosol propellant. It's not like it was in our grandmother's day. Today, just going to and from work or to the mall can have tragic consequences. The FBI says a violent crime is committed every 15 seconds in the United States, and a forcible rape happens every 5 minutes. And chances are, when something happens, no one will be around to help. It looks just like a lipstick, so no one will suspect a thing, which is important since experts say getting the jump on your attacker is all about the element of surprise. Inside this innocent-looking lipstick is the same powerful stuff used by police and the military to disarm even the most powerful armed aggressor. In fact, National Park Rangers use the very same formula that's inside this little lipstick to stop 2,000-pound vicious grizzly bears dead in their tracks. It's like carrying a personal bodyguard with you, in your purse or your pocket. Darkness brings danger. Muggers and rapists use darkness to their advantage. We all know what it's like to be walking at night and hear footsteps coming at us from behind. Who's there? If it's somebody bad, will you be protected? Your life may depend on it. My friend Katie's close call needs to be a wake-up call for all of us, myself included. Pick up a lipstick bodyguard and keep it with you always.
Hit. 550 rapes and 1,100 murders a day are prevented simply by showing a gun, Anthony. That's by the Bureau of Justice Statistics.
Wow.
I wonder how Eric Holder feels about that.
No comment on Eric Holder until after the deportation. Then I'll speak freely.
Is he going with Menendez?
Well, Menendez, can he legitimately be deported or just sent back to his
just
country of origin?
Just sent back to, yes, his country of origin, I guess.
You know, here's something that really ticks me off as a gun owner, as a law-abiding citizen, that I'd like to talk to Menendez and Lautenberg and even Governor Hindenburg about. Last week in Newark, 22 illegal guns were seized. There was five or six guys that were fencing these guns, and out of them, 14 were handguns, 7 were rifles and shotguns. And all of these guns were going to be sold to a 22-year-old youth in Newark, a.k.a. gang member. All of the guns were stolen guns. A few of them were straw purchased from South Carolina. Well, it says that if they're found guilty, they face 10 years in federal prison.
10 years,
which equates to, I asked Detective Mack, which equates to 6 years. Now, where the F did we go wrong? This is what I want to talk about. If I stop at a 7-Eleven for a cup of coffee, I'm looking at 3.5 years in
mandatory.
Jail.
Mandatory.
If I commit a crime with a gun without criminal intent, something stupid, right? I'm looking at 7 years in prison. So I could get caught with 22 illegal guns and be an effing shitbag that these guns are going to go kill innocent people and kids. And we've managed to demonize the tool rather than the criminals. Why don't we have a federal charge that says if you're caught with an illegal gun, you go to prison and Anthony gets to cut all your organs out and they get auctioned off to raise money for the Menendez Deportation Fund?
I like the idea. Did you see the picture, too? There's some really nice hardware there.
I mean, oh, there was a bunch of ARs. There was a pump shotgun with the little handle on it. Looked like a few Tech 9s. You know, this is what all the gangbangers want. They want Glocks, Tech 9s. There's all black guns. There's not one gun in the picture by the North Police that has any wood on it or anything.
No revolvers obviously. Like we have.
Huh? No. No revolvers or anything. Not really any junk guns either. Some good stuff there.
Good stuff. Yeah, I'm looking at this stuff. How much of this stuff you think is going to actually make it to the shredder?
No comment. But think about this, Sandy. You know, they're gonna downgrade these charges by cooperating and everything. These guys are going to do 2 years in prison.
Absolutely.
But us, as Knappen says, us law-abiding criminals would look at doing 7 years on our freaking head.
Yes.
Okay, with no intent, and these friggin' shitbags that kill our innocent people and ruin our quality of life and take our time away from us, this is where it's gone backwards. How do we get the politicians to realize it's the criminals, you effing dumb elected officials? Okay? It is the criminals. It is not me waiting once a month to buy my gun, you jackasses.
Right, exactly. I guess they got tired of filling out all that paperwork, so they had to go and rob the gun store in South Carolina, was it?
You want to talk about proliferation of guns? Mount Olive, 9 incidences in 2 weeks of strong-arm burglaries. Mount Olive, okay?
Yeah, exactly. Morris County. And the Morris County Sheriff's like, wow.
Home invasion, handguns.
When did you ever hear of a home invasion in Bridgewater or Mount Olive?
East Orange, home invasion, 4 actors in the house with handguns.
We've said
one waiting in the car.
We've said it. It's getting much more violent out there. Every one of the cops who teach at your school, all the sidebar conversations I've ever had with them have always been centered around the fact that it is getting much more violent. And they're seeing it on the streets. You people need to really seriously take this advice and prepare yourself. It is not just the local kid who's breaking into your garage and stealing the wallet out of your car. It is now armed gunmen kicking your door in.
You know, and the chief of Mount Olive, Flanders area, Paul Nolan lives in that area too. He commented on the burglaries. He wrote, "Surrounding towns are seeing the trend as well. We are asking neighbors to help watch other neighbors."
Oh, yeah.
And do what?
Right.
Spit effing gum at the bad guy if you see something?
Stop, or I'll yell stop again.
It's amazing that you know, everybody's going to have to shutter into their houses. Yeah, listen, when you're sitting down eating dinner and someone kicks your effing front door in, you're on your own. Cops my ass. You could go to all the community meetings you want, do all the bitching you want. No one will be there to protect you.
Right.
It doesn't go down that way. They wait till the cop goes down the street, then they turn the corner and they break into your house.
And they're watching. I mean, they're doing this for a living. This is not a random sort of a thing. They're doing it for a living.
Everything that we see going on, I mean, it's just incredible. Every day, everything I read, my guys keep texting me of everything that goes on. Look what just happened in France.
Right.
Okay, we're going to discuss that with the gun rabbi, a.k.a. my rabbi, a.k.a. Rabbi David Ben-Dor. Man, he's, for a man of the cloth, he's got a lot of aliases.
Yes, he does. For over 20 years, attorney Evan Knappen has seen what rotten laws do to good people. That's why he's dedicated his life to fighting for the rights of New Jersey gun owners. A fearsome courtroom litigator, one of the first lawyers to ever get a federal injunction against a state gun law. An unrelenting gun rights spokesman, tearing away at the anti-gun propaganda to expose the truth. Author of 5 best-selling books on gun rights, including Knappen on New Jersey Gun Law. The bright orange gun law Bible that sits atop the desk of virtually every lawyer, police chief, firearms dealer, and savvy gun owner in New Jersey. That's what's made Evan Knappen New Jersey's gun lawyer. New Jersey gun laws are designed to make you a criminal. Don't become the victim of New Jersey's vicious anti-gun legal system. This is the guy you want on your side. Keep his name and phone number on a post-it note attached to your New Jersey firearms ID card in your wallet, and hope you'll never have to use it. But if you live, work, or travel through New Jersey with a firearm, the deck is already stacked against you. Keep his number with you always. You can find him on the web at evannappen.com, or take the link from the Gun for Hire Radio resource page. Evan Knappen, New Jersey's gun lawyer.
Now, here's what you do. Take a big bucket of black paint, find a spot in front of your house about 10 feet high, about 20 feet wide, and paint in big letters U-G-L-Y, ugly. Now, why would you do that? It's stupid, but that's what some people have with their garage door. It's like a big, ugly billboard in front of their house. Now take a look at yours. If those four letters come to mind, then you have an ugly garage door. Solve it by calling Buy-Right Overhead Doors. Buy-Right Overhead Doors is in the business of installing beautiful custom garage doors and helping homeowners end their ugly garage door problems. Just by logging on to buyrightohd.com, you can upload a picture of your garage door so you can see what the right door can do for you. Buy-Right Overhead Doors, expert in all garage door problems, from fixing and installing new openers to even repairing the woodworking around your existing garage door. Buy-Right Overhead Doors. Remove that big black billboard that says ugly in front of your home. 877-711-6100 or visit buyrightohd.com.
You're listening to the soon-to-be-released Heart of America by Memphis recording star Jerry Alvin Dean, written by Jeff Saxon, a Jersey boy, and produced by John Allen and Richard Berardi, also of Jersey. All regular listeners to Gun for Hire Radio, which says to me, even famous people have no lives. We rise to our best for fellow man. 57% of the felons interviewed say that they worry more about meeting an armed victim than they do about running into the cops.
You know, we're just talking about why these guys are only facing 10 years in prison with this illegal possession of guns. Because it's federal gun trafficking charges.
Which is ridiculous.
It doesn't fall under New Jersey's Bass Ackwards laws, you know, where you go to jail forever. So because it's federal, you know, this is the problem. So they're looking at 10 years. Could you imagine, Sandy, if you or I were caught with 23 illegal guns?
Oh, my God.
As a New Jersey resident.
Imagine being caught with a couple of bricks of 22 in your trunk. Thousands of rounds of ammunition. You know, it would be reported like we were terrorists.
I mean, I'm really, really pissed at this. You read this and you're like, holy shit.
Yeah, I know. It's
3 years. They're going to do 3 or 4 years in prison for 23 guns that were destined to go on the street to kill innocent people.
Yes, they were.
And some shitbags, too, which is okay. Well, it's okay.
Well, what is it you say? Crime against crime is not crime?
No, shitbag against shitbags don't count. It negates itself. Actually, it's a good, positive thing, I think.
You think so?
Yeah, with two less shitbags.
Oh.
Okay, so it's good. The problem is they get rushed to the hospital, and it costs us hundreds of millions of dollars to keep them alive, right, when you think about it.
Yeah, that's very true.
Where we should probably be doing studies on how long it takes them to die.
Oh, God, I could just feel the hate mail coming now.
I don't care. Why do we have to live like this?
Yes, this is true.
Why do we have to live like this?
Do you see me arguing with you?
No, but, you know... But crime has continued to increase. Illegal guns. And what do? In New Jersey, we want to pass laws to ban ammo for law-abiding citizens. We want to make it harder for a law-abiding citizen to get a gun. We want to make it harder for law-abiding citizens to do this and do that. Well, we're pissed off. I'm tired of it.
I'm tired of it. We're doing something at least to change it, and we are having some impact. And it's all because of you guys out there. The growing number of you are helping because we never would have been able to pull off the coup with the ammo ban that we did early in the year had it not been for the ability to mobilize everybody. And by you getting your friends listening and turning somebody else on, we can actually crush that goal that we have of 1 million listeners by the end of this year.
We did a Simunitions Hell Day in our 42,000 square foot building in Livingston. And one of our,
what's that?
You don't even want to know.
Oh.
One of our good students and supporters, Ed Lejeune, his house was broken into, and he forced his family to sleep in that house that night to get over the fear, and he called Dean at Prism Electronics and had him come in and put a whole alarm system and camera system in. So Ed, my heart goes out to you too. It's like every week, I know our listener base is growing tremendously, but every week all I did is get stories of people being broken into and people being violated and people being robbed, you know?
And dude, let me tell you, I know what it's like to have to sleep in the house the night it was invaded.
It's scary. So I want to thank Dean from Prism Electronics for helping out, again, a good sponsor of ours. And again, I have to do this, VistaParking.com, Tom Wilson, if you're flying in and out of Newark Airport, our
Vista's
new tagline is, it'll be the safest part of your trip, and it'll be the only part of your trip that's not delayed. Okay, that's flying for sure. In and out of Newark International Liberty.
The only enjoyable part of your trip, coming in and out of Newark.
Whatever the hell they call it. It's good for safety reasons, listeners, also, because if your wife is flying, you know, she can't have any weapons or mace on her. So,
correct.
You know, Tom's guys drive you right, and they drop you right off at drop-off, and they pick you right up at pickup and bring you right to their secured parking lot. So it's actually safer than parking. Even if you're parking overnight, it's safer than sitting in short-term parking.
It's lighted, it's attended. You don't have to walk out by yourself.
I'm kind of drained from my tirade from a couple seconds ago, just because, you know, illegal guns, and all we ever focus on is the law-abiding citizen in this freaking backward state. And I'll tell you, I am so unhappy about it. I really am. I am so unhappy that we have to live like this.
Yeah.
We don't have a strong enough castle doctrine or property protection doctrine or a good knife law, or we're limited to 3/4 of an ounce of mace. I mean, what the hell is this? Is it because of our upper echelon elected glitterati walk around insulated and isolated from the rest of us? Why, I sound like Louis Farrakhan.
Yes.
insulated and isolated. Ladies and gentlemen, oh, somebody just threw something at me.
That's
if you heard
very
that.
Nice.
That was Sandy threw something at me, by the way. Sorry. I wasn't, I'm not making fun. I'm just,
no,
I'm just saying.
But you know. It is what it is. I'm the one who has to deal with it.
Sandy's home address will be posted on the website this weekend, by the way. As well as his car and his license plate number.
Wouldn't be the first time. We'll be back.
With the rabbi.
With the rabbi.
With over 25 years expert knowledge and experience to help you select the perfect firearm, the Bullet Hole has one of the largest firearm selections in the New York metro area. With over 300 handguns in stock, you'll find all the major brands, including Glock, Ruger, Smith & Wesson, Kimber, Sig Sauer, and Springfield Armory. And if you're looking for a hunting or tactical rifle or shotgun, they have an extensive inventory of top brands like Benelli, Bushmaster, Remington, and a full line of police equipment and shooting accessories. And the best part is, you can shoot there too. The Bullet Hole has a 10-port, state-of-the-art, climate-controlled indoor range and is the only indoor range in the New York metro area that can handle anything from handgun to high-powered rifle. The range is bright, clean, and safe with full-time, helpful, certified range safety officers and an air scrubber filtration system, like breathing mountain fresh air, and a large selection of range ammo at really great prices. There's even a full-time gunsmith on staff, and you can even get your New Jersey or Pennsylvania hunting licenses. The Bullet Hole is on Rucker Street, across from the main Gun for Hire campus, less than 10 miles from Manhattan. And if you're a law enforcement officer or armed security guard and need to qualify, just drop by any Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. No appointment necessary. Find out more on the web at bulletholenj.com or just follow the link from the gunforhireradio.com resource page. The Bullet Hole, North Jersey's gun authority for over 25 years. Come see Manny, Jen, or Jennifer and tell them you heard about them on Gun for Hire Radio. Motorcycle Mall is the premier motorcycle and power sports dealership on the East Coast. Family owned and operated in Belleville, New Jersey for the last 35 years. They sell 14 brands of motorcycles, scooters, power sports vehicles, snowblowers, generators, and much more. This month, Motorcycle Mall will be moving to a brand new two-story, 108,000 square feet facility and needs to sell its entire inventory. Visit them today to take advantage of their moving sale for unbelievable sales. Their loss is your gain. Starting in April, Motorcycle Mall will be located at 655 Washington Avenue, just 1 mile from their current location. For additional details and information on the moving sale and April's grand opening event, visit MotorcycleMall.com or their Facebook page.
Blowtorch of Truth in the Garden State. Over 200,000 listeners.
How'd that happen?
I don't know.
It's incredible.
I didn't think we knew that many people.
It's incredible.
I didn't think anybody would admit to knowing us.
I could actually tell by the volume of emails we've been getting. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's amazing.
All right. So thank you all for your support. Support our sponsors. Support our guests. We have a very good friend of mine on right now. We have the Rabbi David Ben-Dori, who is also the Rabbinical Director of Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership, JPFO, which I have been a member of for over 20 years now. I'm a life member, and I'm not Jewish.
Nice.
But I believe in the Second Amendment, and I believe in civil rights.
You don't have to be a member of JPFO.
Rabbi has made a video called The Ten Commandments of Self-Defense, correct?
The video is No Guns for Jews.
No Guns for Jews.
Great, great.
Which there was also a video called No Guns for Negroes and No Guns for Jews, which the rabbi did, which is a very, very good video, very strong video here. Rabbi, welcome to Gunfire Radio.
A pleasure to be here. Thank you both for having me.
Great, isn't it, to have him in the room?
Great.
He's like-minded like us, a lot of energy. So on a sad note, we saw what happened in France last week at the outside the synagogue.
Outside the school, actually.
At school,
tragic.
Excuse me.
Very tragic. Unfortunately, as you've heard me say before, these are the kinds of things that we're anticipating from enemies of
here.
Jewish people,
yeah.
Enemies of freedom.
Correct. Yes. Correct. And, you know, we've talked about this before because it's a concern of ours and all schools and malls and religious institutions that it's just a matter of time, might I say, that we have some kind of Mumbai type of attack. And the rabbi's here in the studio because we're running a force-on-force training seminar.
Which he's just about to go into.
He just finished the school part of it, classroom, and now he's about to go into shoot and get into role-playing. And afterwards, we're going to interview him again, and then we're going to interview him in the finale so we can just see how you feel about it, how being shot at and responding to stuff. So,
what was it like? What was the school like? And, I mean, what are you anticipating now?
I will comment. First of all, I actually got nervous as soon as I started filling out the forms. It was actually surprising. I anticipated that I might be a little nervous when I go into the simulations room, but filling out the forms, I'm feeling stress here. What's going on?
Yeah, we're gonna be checking your heart rate during too.
Well, it might be elevated already.
We had a gentleman, Alexander Hall, ran through this weekend, and he was 64 at rest, and he was 115 before he went into the room and 165 after the scenario.
Wow.
So, yeah. Well, that helps induce problems, too, which is what we want, because in real life, it's probably going to be closer to, what, about 180, Sandy?
Yeah, probably about 180, yeah.
Well, this is, as you know, you've seen me train at the range, and I'm the crazy guy at the range.
Yeah, you are the crazy guy at the range.
Push-ups and runs around and then picks up his gun and shoot, because in the real world,
that's
you don't
right.
shoot at paper that's
right.
not moving, and you
Correct.
Don't have 5 minutes to line up every shot.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. And
exactly.
Everybody thinks they're prepared because they can shoot a tight group at, you know, 50 yards.
I think tight groups are meaningless in self-defense.
Yes, absolutely.
And the rabbi here is very active in promoting Second Amendment advocacy in the tri-state area and the world, actually. Very well written, very well published, I must say. I'm proud to say he's on our team.
Yes, he is.
Another true patriot, which is a beautiful thing. And so the lecture part that Joe was going over, you pick up anything so far?
Some very good pointers. I'll give a couple of highlights. First, a lot of the legal issues he raises. So I've heard about a lot of them before, but to hear them directly from a police officer who has been on the site gives a different perspective. So that was very valuable. He also gave us some shoot, no shoot scenarios to think about, which was also valuable. And then also talking about the value of simunitions training in his experience in the military and in the police force.
Now, not to change the subject, but what do you feel is the future of New Jersey with gun control? Because I know you're fighting the good fight with us and Scott Bach and you know, everybody else in the 2A side. How do you feel about that? I know you're frustrated.
I'm frustrated. I think we're all frustrated. It's a matter of time, but the regime will fall.
Now, you had an epiphany because you haven't been a gun guy that long. How many years has it been? 4, 5?
It's been a little bit longer than that. It's about 10.
Oh, okay.
My wife didn't permit me to go public was one of the issues.
We talk about closet gun owners on our show all the time.
Well, you've heard me. I'm the only Orthodox rabbi out there who encourages everyone to come out of the closet.
Do we need more like him? When we come back, Rabbi, I want to talk to you about a few more things with the Second Amendment issues in New Jersey and the country as a whole.
We the people, you and I.
For the first time ever, you can get the very same extreme performance gun care system used by U.S. Special Forces, the FBI, Navy SEALs, and Army Rangers. Their guns need to work all the time, no exception. That's why this very special formula was created. And this very same formula is being made available to you. So now, you can get up to 10 times more rounds down range between cleaning and ultra-reliable lubrication in any condition from blistering desert heat to bone-cracking Arctic tundra. For a very limited time, you can get this amazing gun care system at a ridiculous special introductory price of less than $15 delivered right to your door. Use promotion code G1, that's GOLF1, when you call to order toll-free at 866-NRA-GUN-1. That's 866-NRA-GUN and the number 1. You can find out more at nragguncare.com. Freedom Energy is a leader in commercial solar energy. Not only does solar make good economical and environmental sense, which means you not only can get off the grid and make your own free energy, but you can actually put cash in your pocket at the same time. Self-sustaining solar also makes patriotic sense. Since our nation's enemies are also our energy masters, every time you flip on a switch, you're buying an IED or AK for a jihadi terrorist. If you own a commercial building, you could be tightening the noose around the necks of our enemies while at the same time enjoying the benefit of free electric. Doesn't get any better than that. And even if you don't have cash in the bank, Ron has financing available. He's even got a group of investors who will foot the entire bill, then pay you cash to rent your roof and give you access to electric at half of what you're paying now. Plus, if the power goes down for any reason, you'll still be up and running. Building owners, call Ron Sousa directly today at 973-265-2900.
Lipstick Bodyguard. It looks just like a beautiful little lipstick. But just like a beautiful woman, it has the power to bring a grown man to his knees. Order 3 and get shipping free. Just follow the link on the gunforhireradio.com homepage.
And we're back with the gun rabbi who just came out of the simmunitions training.
Gun rabbi just got shot.
What's all those different colors on you, Rabbi?
Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
The gun rabbi just got shot. Interestingly enough, I am wearing two colors, though there was only one perp that I saw. I would have expected him to have one color.
So how do you feel about the force-on-force training? Your chest is pumping pretty good.
Chest is pumping pretty good, and you might hear him a little out of breath. I don't think I've been out of there for 2 minutes yet. And I am, it's good stuff.
Yeah.
It ain't shooting paper targets, baby.
So did they put some tough scenarios on you?
They gave me two scenarios. The first scenario, I heard a loud bang. I was in my bed reading. A guy came into my bedroom. Hey, don't shoot me. I just got a television. I just want the television. I said, put it down. It's going to break. I said, drop it. He dropped it. And then I said, hands up. And he kind of half put his hands up. His hands kept coming up and down. He wouldn't listen to me. Started going down the hall. Now, in my house, if he's going down the hall, he's going to my kid's room.
Not good.
Oh. And he's kind of hanging in the doorway, and I kept shouting, hands up. His hands kept creeping down. And then he seemed to be reaching for something on his right. I didn't know what he was reaching for. He wouldn't listen to me. And at that point, I pulled the trigger more than once.
Nice.
You look good. You look good. You survived. You got a little color on you, which is nice.
The first guy I did fine, because frankly, I don't know if he was armed or not, but he never got his weapon out if he was.
Nice. We're doing active shooter next in the classroom, by the way.
Oh.
That's the next scenario that you guys are going to do.
That's
which
important.
It pays to plan for active shooter today because it seems to be a lot of that going around.
Yeah.
Tragic.
So, yes.
Tragic is all I can say.
Tragic is a great thing to say. And obviously in New Jersey, all we can do is run and cower.
Run and hide, yes.
Run and hide,
I think you cower after you hide, if you I'm can, not mistaken.
Yes, run, yes, run, hide,
run,
and cower.
Hide, and then cower is the proper...
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
So it was interesting, and you got to use a Glock platform. Do you normally shoot a Glock?
I don't normally shoot a Glock, no. Okay. So that was an unusual platform.
You're a SIG man, aren't you?
Yeah, I like SIG.
I remember that.
I'm a little partial to SIG. I've never really liked the trigger on a Glock, though I will comment, having now been in force-on-force training... Trigger doesn't really matter. You don't notice.
That could be a 14-pound trigger. You don't care.
No idea what that trigger was. I've never liked the feel of a Glock trigger, but...
Yeah, it doesn't really matter now.
Doesn't really matter.
Have you heard anything from the other students in the class? Are they all...
I haven't heard anything from them. One was coming out as I came in. There were another two guys waiting to get in, so we haven't all debriefed together yet.
I also don't know, by the way, I
have to get from the trainers here, what were the details of that first scenario? What exactly was going on there?
Oh, it was all video, and it was going to be played back and then destroyed afterwards.
No, I don't mean the details of what I did. That I think I have a pretty clear picture of. I mean, what was this guy doing in my house? What was the scenario?
Oh, they're going to talk to you about that.
We got you out of there before the debreef, which is the best part of that.
No, he'll be in the debrief.
Yeah, they're going to debrief me after you debrief me
after
here.
We wanted to debrief him first on air because I wanted to get that right out of the Sims room because we've all been in there. And, when you come out, you're like, oh, my God, I can't believe what just happened to me.
Well, I'll tell you, just lying in the bed waiting is a pressure cooker. I noticed I was panting in the Darth Vader mask.
Yes.
Really?
We watch the chest rise and fall from the video cameras when people are in the simunitions, and it's interesting to see it. The longer some guys, if they're really cocky, we let them stew for a long time before we go in there.
That's just cruel.
Somebody like you who had an open mind, we only wait a minute or two. We give you a break. But if you had this, I know everything, and I'm going to kick butt when I go in there, we would have had you sit there for a good 7 or 8 minutes till you were ready to climb it out of your skin. We had a guy, when they came in the bedroom, he opened the bureau and took the gun out, and he threw it across the room.
I can see that happening. I'll tell you, the second scenario, frankly, I think I'm dead. But leaving aside the fact that I'm dead, in the second scenario,
good for a dead man.
In the end, we both had completely emptied our guns. Now, the perp was on the ground, and his gun was maybe a foot away from his body. And I immediately went, put my foot on it, and pulled it away from him. But he wouldn't stay still. Now, I had a gun. I had no ammo left, which I knew. I kept trying to rack the slide, habit. The gun's not shooting, you rack the slide, right? And then I realized I had no ammo. So I said, there's another gun in the room, because he was still moving, trying to get up, and I was shouting at him to hold still. The police are coming, they'll bring an ambulance. So I picked up his gun, figuring if he's got ammo and he's coming after me, I don't know if he's got another weapon, I don't know what's going on here.
Right.
So he kept moving, so I'm sitting there pointing two empty guns at him, one in each hand, shouting at him, get down, shut up, get down.
This portion of Gun for Hire Radio is being brought to you by Gun for Hire Firearms Academy, America's urban defense institute for over 30 years. With 4 state-of-the-art facilities in New Jersey, 2 of them just minutes from New York City and Philadelphia, offering indoor and outdoor training, moving and shooting, tactical weapons training, baton, handcuff, and mace, executive protection training and certification, multi-state CCW permits, and armed security and retired law enforcement qualifications. Gun for Hire Academy is equipped with a state-of-the-art FATS, Firearms Training Simulator, and is the only training facility in the world approved for civilian, force-on-force, simunitions training. Whether you're a beginner who's never touched a gun, or a seasoned professional looking to keep your skills sharp, you'll find something tailored just for you at Gun for Hire. Flying in from out of town? We'll pick you up at the airport. Find out more at gunforhire.com. Train where the pros do. Gun for Hire, America's Urban Defense Institute.
The average 911 response time nationally right now is 14 minutes 32 seconds, up from a 10-minute response time in 2007, and the average violent encounter is over in 90 seconds.
14 minutes for a cop to get to your house. I could probably have half the hole dug by then.
Pretty much. So, Rabbi Ben-Dori, you just went through a second scenario.
Well, we just did an active shooter in synagogue scenario.
Great. What was that like?
So we had a half a dozen of us in synagogue, and in came, unidentified perp at this point, but I'll say he was a lone gunman. How's that?
Okay, sounds good.
In came the lone gunman, and just opened fire out of nowhere. I think we're going to hear in a minute.
Not a terrorist, though.
No, gunman. No. Yes. He was a lone gunman. He randomly picked a synagogue.
We can't call them terrorists.
No, that's
this,
not
this Merham, the press doesn't even refer to him as Muhammad. It's no. Mr. Merham
it
was
is,
a lone
of course,
gunman.
What's wrong with you?
Yellow journalism.
It's absolutely terrible how you try to pigeonhole
people. Yeah, I know.
Well, at any rate, this lone gunman came into our simulated synagogue and just opened fire. Didn't hear a word, just opened fire. Now, I, in the scenario, was armed. And I think we're going to hear in a minute, because one of our instructors is here, but I think I did well. I did get hit. I got hit in the arm, but I got undercover quickly. I got behind, there was a pole that proved to be very useful. And from behind the pole, I took several shots at the perp and wounded him, and then had to come out from cover more to take him down. And I think I did well. A few things on my mind to review, but we'll get into some more detail, I think, as we go. First, I'd like to hear if I did as well as I think I did.
We have Chuck in the studio. Chuck is one of my instructors, decorated war veteran and everything. Chuck, thank you for coming in.
Sitting here in a flight suit, I might add.
He's in a flight suit, yes.
Very stylish.
To protect himself, his clothing, from the Sims round. So talk to us, Chuck.
Well, to let you guys know, the rabbi is correct. He did do very well. It definitely shows that he's a lot more initiated than some that come to Sims. Most people that have a mentality that where they believe that what they see on TV or video games actually stands for training, where the rabbi shows that he does have gun handling skills, where he actually has taken the time to learn and practice and does, well, not to use a euphemism, practice what he preaches. So
I hope I do that in more ways than just
sense. his presentation was very good. Our role player came out of a secondary door, which wasn't exactly what everybody was expecting. It took about a couple of seconds for the bystanders to all make their way to the ground, and the rabbi went for cover, drew his firearm, and actually started to move low till he got to a line of sight where he could actually engage the role player, and then did quite well. Once his shots, where he saw his shots were effective, the role player went down, because that's the beauty of Sims. You can actually see what you're hitting and actually feel the recoil and actually see the scenario start to unfold. It's not where we were kids where you go, bang, you're dead, and the person goes, no, I'm not.
Now, Chuck, you just said it, they weren't expecting that scenario. What scenario are we ever expecting?
Well,
when there's an active shooter or a home invasion or a break-in, we're only prepared. What, the plan is only good until when, Chuck?
Well, 5 seconds or 5 feet.
5 seconds or 5 feet, so
and
it's
the,
scary.
The thing that always ends up when you start doing training, people start getting into that mindset where they start what-ifing immediately, and they start looking at doors and start, oh, what's going to happen? And we could see it with some of the role players in the room already, some of the quasi-congregates that were waiting, standing in the room, because they all started putting their backs against walls, or they all started standing behind poles and stuff.
Defensive positions.
Exactly. And where the rabbi actually moved to where he had line of sight of all three doors, milling about, talking with people, but always kept at least a vantage point on everything going on, which was good. I mean, from a normal standpoint, if you're the only person armed in the synagogue, that's what you're going to have to do, is keep a line of sight on every possible avenue of approach.
And that was the scenario that they gave me. They told me I was the only person armed in the synagogue, and that other people in the synagogue knew that. And so I put on a security mindset, as it were, where I went, and this happens to be my natural position in the synagogue anyway, but I went with my back to a wall where I could see and survey everything going on in the room. And while I did talk with people, I kept scanning around the room to keep a watch, which is, of course, what someone engaged in security ought to be doing. Now, I have to ask myself, you know, I'll be honest here, if I were doing that for 2-3 hours, would I have been as vigilant? You know, I knew someone's going to come in within the next 5 minutes or less, right? And I knew it's going to be an active shooter. I guess they could have had a person could have had a simulated grenade or some such, but I knew it was going to be an active shooter, so perhaps I was more vigilant than in the real world, but that was my goal. That was my goal. Now, I actually have a couple of questions. Can I ask you some questions?
Absolutely.
So my first question is, at what point did I draw my gun?
You actually drew your gun when you got to the ground.
That's what I thought.
Yes.
That's what I thought.
You were in motion going to the ground. Your head was up. You were watching where the role player was coming through the door. You saw what he had in his hand. You immediately went to the ground, and in probably about 1.5 seconds, the gun was up, ready to go. You went from a one-handed point towards the role player, and it took that slight translation for your brain to go, oh yeah, that's what the second hand is for. Lined up the weapon, and you started to get ready to engage. And you didn't actually engage until you had clear line of sight, because you actually had another person that was in between you and the active shooter briefly for a second. And you moved, took your shots, and once he went down, then you actually moved around to be able to get a better vantage point.
So interesting. I thought I didn't draw till I got to the ground.
But I
wasn't sure. The person in between, I have no recollection of that whatsoever. Absolutely none.
No one ever does.
No.
Everybody always misses something. They say when police come to the scene, Rabbi, they hate eyewitnesses because there's no such thing.
Yeah, right. It's always just misinformation.
Correct. layers and layers. And by the way, ladies, listeners, if you don't know, one of the reasons why we're doing a special like this is because of what just happened in France, and it's a large concern of us in this country that something is going to happen in a religious institution or a mall or something in this country. And I know we live in a backward state like New Jersey where we can't carry guns, but we're just trying to increase everyone's awareness and situation
right.
awareness
and since we have
to this.
Listeners all over the world.
Yes,
and listeners all over
and,
the country,
and New Jersey important. People know, you know, we need to be aware, sitting like the rabbi said, sit with your back to the wall, you know, and hopefully.
Which is how we
can...
should all act in an open area anyway. I mean, an active shooter just doesn't pick
you mean
a particular area.
It's like when all of us guys go out and get something to eat, everybody's
and
fighting
everybody's
over that
their,
one,
yeah,
seat,
the one seat,
tripping each other because we all want that defensive position, right? Right.
Yeah, that's kind of true.
So you had more questions, Rabbi, for your instructor?
So I did have another question. When he came in, I believe he came in without his gun drawn. Am I correct?
Well, he came in, and his gun was actually in a downward position, what we like to call a compressed guard. It was up towards his body. He did not start pressing out until he started having line of sight on everybody. So that millisecond when he came through the door, the gun came from a compressed guard and started moving out. It wasn't where you could see it. It wasn't in clear line of sight.
Because
correct?
When he first came in, it wasn't clear that he was an active shooter. I know that one of the games you play very instructively is to have decoys and the like.
Yes.
And it was not clear, and then of course very quickly it became clear what was going on, which is when I started jumping for cover. I will comment, by the way, I'm glad to hear that I drew well. That we all talk about the importance of practicing your draw. Everybody thinks that training with your gun is going to the range and shooting. You can actually train much better at home, where you draw your gun repeatedly because it's muscle memory and you have to develop the skill and technique.
Absolutely.
Of course, with an empty gun.
Certainly.
Please.
Empty and a gun that you checked to make
yes.
sure it was
yes.
empty before
yes.
starting.
And no ammunition live in the room.
In the area,
yes. Please, no Elvises out there.
Well, that's, you know, I'll comment. That's the other lesson I think I'm getting out of these simunitions scenarios today, is whatever you thought you knew becomes completely irrelevant because
right
you have no
window.
Time to think. Yeah. Zero.
The beauty of Sims is it is truly a great equalizer. It turns people who have a level of experience that they feel is perfect, and it humbles them just enough that they realize what little things they need to tweak. And it takes people who have zero experience, but they think that they're, you know, because they play Call of Duty or one of these video games and they're the couch killer, it turns them into somebody who realizes maybe it's time I start learning something, because Sims shows people under stress what they have to do in real life. Some people that have 15 locks on their guns and they have safes and everything else, instead of just realizing what the law requires and what is safe for them and their family, they're afraid so much of something happening that they feel that the gun is bad and they lock it up behind Fort Knox. But then, like anything, it's no good to them in a dangerous situation
sure.
under stress.
Well, one of the interesting things I found is one of your co-participants uses a 1911.
Mm-hmm.
And he found out how quickly 8 shots and a single stack 1911 disappears. And he came out with an entirely different view of what he should have for a home defense gun.
He also told us he keeps his magazines unloaded, right, Chuck?
Yes.
Oh, tell us about that, Chuck.
Good luck with that.
We actually had a couple of the people in the class that's their mindset, that they keep the magazines and the ammunition totally separate because, like everything, being in New Jersey, they're totally afraid of all the rules that are told to them for transportation to and from the range. They feel that that's the way they have to have it inside the house. And when we tried to explain to them just by a quick demonstration of how long it takes to get at least 1-2 rounds into the magazine, you're basically talking about shooting somebody with a flintlock. I mean, you might as well be standing face-to-face with redcoats. It's the hardest thing to make people grasp until they actually physically see it.
Now, I wonder how many deaths can be attributed to gun laws, to anti-gun laws in this country. Because we were so defensive, especially in New Jersey. Chuck brought up a very valid point in the fact that we're inculcated with fear from what may happen if I stop at a 7-Eleven. Can I do this? Can I do that? What would happen in this scenario, that scenario? I got to keep this in a lockbox upstairs in my attic while I have the magazines in the basement. And it doesn't work in a real scenario.
No. And under stress, people don't train to that level. I mean, military, law enforcement, any of the elite, quote-unquote units. Yeah, I'm sitting here making the air quotes. But they work well on Yeah, they do. They all train to what they do. So fight as you train as you fight. And some people don't understand that concept, that Sims is a tool that allows the average person to come out and find out how well their plan works.
Right. It's and a great tool.
Not it's everybody has tool. That option.
Now, Rabbi, you saw how stressed out you were waiting for a scenario. Could you imagine opening a combination lock safe or trying to put a key in a lock to get to your gun in a situation like that?
Well, key in the lock, forget it. I keep my gun in a combination lock box next to my bed, but it's not. It's a push button combination, mm-hmm. simplex lock. And I have I've practiced opening it many times in the dark, fiddling, you know, etc. So I thought I could open it pretty quickly. In the two role play scenarios I did where I was in the bedroom, I discovered how long it took me to open a box with no lock on it.
Yes.
You know.
And speaking on that, talking with the rabbi when we set up the scenario for him, one of the tools that he keeps well informed, he's one of those people who prepares in advance, is a flashlight, which most gun owners should have, as so you can identify a threat and at least have vigilance and be able to check your house if need to. His flashlight seemed to stay in the box most of the time.
I got to laugh at myself here. Yeah. So Chuck actually asked me afterwards, he said, you got the flashlight, why didn't you use it? I said, and it's so stupid. Well, the light was on. Why did I need this flashlight? No, of course, the flashlight in the light of the perp, in the eyes of the perp, blinds him, which is a great tool to have.
Not to mention helps you identify what's in their hands.
Which I didn't even think about.
Because that's the one thing.
I mean, even when he asked me afterwards, I didn't even know. I got a light on. What do I need a flashlight for?
I got a tip for you, Rabbi, that I learned from a student. Your simplex box that you have at home, if you take a vitamin or an aspirin or something every day, put it in that box. And you have to practice every day opening it to get that. All right? It's a great way to burn it into your brain. I take an Ecotrin aspirin every night before I go to bed. And I have to go into my lockbox. It's a rubber button safe. So I can do it eyes closed. I can do it talking on a telephone now because it's been about a solid 3 years of me opening that over 1,000 times.
Well, I can do it eyes closed in the dark. However, when there's a random guy walking into my bedroom and I don't know what he's doing, it gets a little bit harder.
Right. It gets sketchy, right?
Yeah. And you got to remember, too, like we were talking about off air, that 2 seconds that it takes, it's that oh shit moment mm-hmm. where your brain realizes something's wrong, and by the time it passes through the reticular formation and triggers Broca's area in the brain that says, hey, you better react, it's 2 seconds.
Notice that the entire time the rabbi's been on the show, Anthony has been talking very clean and very respectful.
And I used
and
a bad
Sandy
word.
Twice. Now he said poop and passing through the reticular something of another, which has to be a bad thing. So just well, notice that, listeners.
It's rubbing off. My wife even says that.
It's bad.
It's rubbing
it's
off.
Bad. So if you had to do it over again, Rabbi, what would you do if you had to do it over again?
In the synagogue scenario, I don't think, knowing the guy is coming in, I could obviously be in a more vigilant position or some such. But realistically, I don't think there's anything I would change. Playing it in my head and hearing Chuck talk about it, I didn't plan to get down on the floor. I didn't plan to get behind the pole. I didn't do anything. It's pure instinct once the perp walked in, which I think, frankly, I feel good about. The two scenarios in my bedroom, I guess, it's interesting. If, in addition to, dry fire exercise and drawing from the holster and those kinds of things, I play scenarios in my head. Apparently, I've played the synagogue scenario much more often than the home invasion scenario.
Understood. So, Chuck, how many gold 5-pointed stars would you give the rabbi?
How many for?
Yeah, how many gold 5-pointed stars?
We're looking at 4 out of 5 right now.
Nice. Not four bad for first five. Pass,
hey,
Rabbi.
Anthony, can I have 6-pointed stars? Star of David, please?
We'll give you a 6-pointed star. I was hoping you would say something. I did that on purpose, by the way. Yes, we'll give 4 6-pointed stars. How's that? We have a common friend. The Reverend Ken Blanchard is a good friend of mine, too.
Very good friend of mine as well.
And the Reverend Ken Blanchard, by the way, is also my reverend. He's Black Man with a Gun. Beat that.
Yeah. I was actually just... Okay. I was just on his most recent podcast. I'm on there with him. And
I'm on the one before that.
Oh, are you really? You're on right before me.
On before.
But he's my reverend, interestingly enough. In fact, I was in a meeting once, and my phone rang in the meeting, and I said, excuse me, everybody, I have to take this call. It's my reverend.
The looks must have been fun.
A little bit of a shock around the room.
Yeah, Ken Blanchard's a good friend of ours. He's coming up in New York in June. I'm going to have dinner with him.
Yeah, he told me he's coming up.
To a podcast
in,
show.
Javits Convention Center. I was talking with him.
So, Chuck, what do you think, Chuck, overall, how did the guys do tonight? we had a mix of people tonight. It wasn't just a synagogue thing. We had all kinds of people taking the force on force. How did everybody do overall?
Overall, we had a lot of eye-openers tonight. A lot of people who had a broad mix of training. Some people had different gun backgrounds. And we had a lot of people realize that their weapon of choice wasn't exactly the best thing possible, that maybe they need to rethink things. We had a lot of people who realized some of the things that they've trained their whole aspect or scenario in for their home invasion, that maybe those tactics aren't very valid and don't work. So overall, if we're talking 4 out of 5 type stuff, I would definitely say about, 2.5, 3. For not an bad overall out of everybody.
Well, it really wasn't bad, considering I saw a lot of dead guys walking out of the room.
Yeah. I got killed on one of my home invasions. They didn't tell me to drop, but I'm sure I was dead. In fact, I have the paint mark right on my solar plexus to show for that.
The gun rabbi's wearing a gun for hire t-shirt for the scenarios. I love it.
With the center of mass shot.
Do not wear that to the synagogue, by the way.
Thank you for the advice. I appreciate that.
Now, Rabbi, I've got a question for you. You brought up an interesting point between Reverend Ken Blanchard, yourself. I mean, men of God, how do you justify the fact of using firearms, possibly deadly force, against, someone who's meaning to do you harm? A lot of people would say that just it's incongruous.
A lot of people are fools, I'm sorry to say. Nice. Look, God gave me a precious gift. God gave me life. And it is my job as a Jew, as a human being, to cherish that gift and protect it. And so if somebody comes into my synagogue shooting, they've just given up their right to live. They've given up their right to personal safety. Someone comes into my home for the other scenarios. According to Jewish law, just by being in my house at night like that, according to Jewish law, I'm not saying anything about New Jersey here, that is justifiable cause to assume that that person is going to use deadly force against me because they don't belong in my house and they broke in at night, which means they know someone's home, which means they are expecting a confrontation. And so, according to Jewish law, the correct thing to do out of love for God and respect for the gift of life that he's given me, the gifts of my children, my wife, I have to defend myself. I have to defend the innocent.
I love that. Once someone violates the sanctity of your home, all bets are off.
Yes. That's what castle doctrine is all about.
Yes.
We have our own version of that in Jewish law, but that's what it's all about. And by the way, I would add, I would give the same justification to our soldiers who go out on the battlefield to protect and defend us. They're taking the war outside of our borders to make us safe.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
Rabbi Chuck, thank you so much for being on the show today. And I have some classes coming up. Obviously, we have 6 locations in mobile training, gun for hire. If you want to get a non-resident carry permit, Utah CCW, Senate Bill S-2188, looking good. Contact us. We'll hook you up. March 29th, 4-day certified executive protection class. April, we have a ton of stuff in April. Urban Pistol 1 and 2 and Carbine in Cedar Grove. Civilian response to an active shooter, April 14th and 21st in Livingston, New Jersey. We have Simmunitions in Belleville on April 6th, April 27th. Urban Shotgun, Cedar Grove on April 15th. Anytime you want to build your own AR, the Gun for Hire Build-A-Bear program, Jimmy the Gun Guy will hook you up. Save this date, please, everybody. Rabbi, Saturday night, I know you might not be able to come out, but our FNRA dinner is going to be a Saturday night on October 13th, 2012. He can come out at night and come to the dinner
late.
I will
check my calendar for that. Yes. It's worth coming to.
See? We also have a personal awareness seminar. Be prepared. April 15th, tax day. Learn how to be prepared.
I wish I was prepared for April 15th.
And we also have the new Gun for Her Club for you ladies out there. Gun for Her. It's not all about guns. They have a Facebook page, and there is a link on the Gunfire website. To all of our listeners and our supporters and our sponsors and our patriots from every denomination and every background, thank you all for making Gun for Hire the voice of 1 million New Jersey gun owners.
Well, looks like you did it again. You wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Gun for Hire Radio. If you really want to waste some more time, go to gunforhireradio.com and follow the link to the video and see why they call Dovid Ben-Duri the Gun Rabbi. Trust me, you don't want to mess with this gunslinging man of God. Gun for Hire Radio is a Counterthink Media production. The music used in this broadcast was managed by Cosmo Music, LLC, New York, New York, under license of Broadcast Music Incorporated. I'm Sandy Berardi. On behalf of my co-host, Master Trainer Anthony Calandro, and the rest of the crew here at Gun for Hire Radio, Thanks for listening. See you next week. My home is